Thank you. Hare Krishna. So thank you so much for inviting me to your Sangha. It's a privilege. I'm so glad to be addressing all of you today and taking the association of all of the esteemed devotees there at ISKCON Chennai. So thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. Vancha kalpatarubhayascha kripa sindhu bhayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, His Holiness Jayapata Goswami Guru Maharaj ki jai. Thank you so much for your very kind introduction. So just as Prabhu said, today we are here to discuss the life and teachings of Sri Jahanava Devi, who was also called as very fondly by devotees as Mother Jahanava. Yeah, please go ahead. Okay. So, as we all know, very famously, Narottam Das Thakur tells in one of his very famous bhajan. He says, Gaurangera Sangi Gane Nitya Siddha Karimane Sejaye Brajendra Sutapasa Sejaye Brajendra Sutapasa. If we understand the associates of Lord Chaitanya, then all the material contamination will be removed, and we can very easily go to the supreme abode of Lord Sri Krishna. So it's an absolute privilege that today, for another hour to go, we will be meditating on the life and teachings of Srimati Jahanava Devi, who was one of the associates, who was there during Lord Chaitanya's time. In Bhakti Ratnakar, Narahari Chakravarti, he glorifies Jahanava Mata with a very beautiful verse. He says, Nityananda Priyam Prema Bhakti Ratna Pradayinim Shri Janava Ishwarim Vande Tapatraya Nivarinam. He says that my humble and respectful obeisances to the very dear consort of Lord Nityananda, Shri Janava Ishwari, who very mercifully is giving out the precious jewel of devotional service to the general mass of people. And just by remembering whom, tapatraya nivarinam, the threefold miseries of material existence can be removed. Sri Janava Mata, she was very fondly called as Madha, Ma Janava, Janava Mata. She was also known as Janava Ishwari or Janava Devi. Bhakti Vinod Thakur in his Kalyan Kalpataru has also composed a very beautiful bhajan glorifying her and taking her shelter of her lotus feet. If the time permits today, at the end of this class, I would like to sing this bhajan. But then the time will be left over or not is a little doubtful, because this topic itself is so huge. Especially for me, personally, Janava Devi and her whole life and teachings is very close to my heart, and I would like to explain this why and make a certain confessions before I start this class today. I got connected to ISKCON in very young age, but I belong to a Gujarati family, So I had no idea about Gaur Nitai. And from childhood, being born in a Pushti Marag Vaishnava family, I was always attached to Lord Shri Krishna. So on my 16th birthday, since we were connected to ISKCON, the then temple president of ISKCON Hyderabad, he gifted me a Gaur Nitai deity. I confess, I was very, very disappointed. The birthday celebrations happened in the basement of the temple. The temple president very happily took me upstairs. He opened the gift shop and he personally handed over the deities. And when they were in my hand, I was thoroughly disappointed. I thought, no, maybe he should have given me Radha Krishna, something else. I don't even know who are these Gaur Nitai. Now, because I got them, I couldn't say no. And now they were in my home altar. And my mother was continuously, maybe getting angry sometimes. She said that, why aren't you worshipping them? Shall I tell the Prabhuji who gave you this gift that you're not worshipping them regularly? This is not correct. If you don't want them, give it back. Otherwise, you have to worship regularly. So very reluctantly, I started worshipping them. In 1998, in Atlanta, Guru Maharaj gave me Diksha. I was very excited. It was very special. I was just waiting what name Guru Maharaj will give me. And then after everybody, my name came up and he says, Nitai Sevini. I thought this was too much. First they walk into my life uninvited. And now I have a name, Nitai Sevini, which I have to keep the rest of my life. So is it fair? Why are they forcing themselves into my life? Everybody got very beautiful names. Radhika, Priya, that Priya, Sakhi, Manjari. All very feminine names, but I got a very manly name, Nitai Sevini. I never had the guts to tell Guru Maharaj directly that I don't like my name, but I kept it in my heart. And at least for a couple of years, I was very envious. Anytime, I asked some Mataji, what's your name? And she says some Priya, Sakhi, and I'm like, why everybody in the world gets beautiful name except me? And to add to my sorrow, for the couple of months that I was there in Miami, there were lots of South American Matajis. And to add to my sorrow, they used to call me Mother Nitai, and Nitai is definitely not a feminine name. Anyway, to cut the long story short of all the sorrow that I had in my life at that time with my name, that was the only sorrow, of course. In 2001, something special happened at Radhakund. Myself and Prabhu, we were at Radhakund, and one of Prabhupada's disciples, very old gentleman, I don't know his name now, we were all sitting. He was telling some pastime to somebody and we joined in and we were hearing. He was telling some very beautiful pastime of Radhakund, and then I did ask him some questions. And because I was going on asking him questions, after the program was done, I was sitting next to my husband, so he asked me, what's your name? I thought he just again touching where it hurts most, asking my name. And I said, my name is Nitai Sevini. And I honestly told him that, Prabhu, I don't like my name. So he said, why is that? And I told him frankly, Prabhu, it's very manly. It's not feminine. So he explained me something so beautiful and that touched my heart. He said, tell me, what is the meaning of Nitai Sevini? And I said, Nitai Sevini means servant of Nityananda. And he said, no, you got it wrong. He said, no, your name is the last one, Dasi or Das, that's your name. So this Nitai Sevini Dasi means you are not servant of Nityananda, you are servant of the servant of Nityananda. So now tell me, what's your name? Is it Nitai Sevak or is it Nitai Sevini? I said, it's Nitai Sevini. So he said, well, Sevini is feminine, right? Nitai Sevak means boy or man. Sevini means girl. So that means Nitai Sevini is female servant of Lord Nityananda and you are the servant of that servant. And then he asked me, do you know who is the topmost servant of Nityananda? And I said, no. And then he said, that's Janava Devi. So I asked question, I said, why not Vasudha? Why only Janavi? And he told me that how Nityananda Prabhu had two wives, Vasudha and Janavi, and how Vasudha had left her body, but Janava, she stayed back even after Nityananda Prabhu left this world. Janava Devi, she was so attached to Nityananda that once when Lord Nityananda wanted to give up his body and at Kharda he merged inside the deity, the way Janava Devi cried and cried for Nityananda, that though he had disappeared, he had to reappear just because of her cry. So you can imagine how intense must be her cry that the Supreme Lord reappears again when he's already planning to disappear. So she was so attached to him that she couldn't even leave even for a moment without him. But still, because she loved Lord Nityananda so much and her love and devotion was so strong, that still she somehow managed to keep her breath together and she carried forward the legacy of Nityananda and continued preaching even after his disappearance. It is easy to work for somebody when you can see the person, you can get some reciprocation. But to work in separation is the highest. So she lived in separation, and she still did preaching on behalf of Nityananda. So definitely she is the greatest female sevika of Lord Nityananda. So Prabhupada's disciple at that day in 2001 at Radhakund, he told me that, see, you are the servant of Mother Janava. And that made me happy. Okay, finally something feminine. And from there on, I got so attached to Janava Devi, that name. And then I did a lot of research and a lot of digging in her life and pastimes. But of course, over a period of time, I got busy with other services. And now after so many years, when, you know, a month ago, Prabhu Janardhan Gaura Hari Prabhu asked me to give class on this. And I thought, wow. And I was just referring to my old notes, which I made those days, you know, when I was very curious to know more about Janava Devi, So today afternoon I sent him a WhatsApp and I said, I don't know, 1 hour is not enough. I have so much material on Janava Devi. Can I extend the class? So Mother Janava and Vasudha, we don't know much about them in their childhood, but we came to know about them only after their marriageable age, you know, in various books. In the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika, verse number 65 and 66, there are two versions. The first version says that Janava Devi and Vasudha, they are Varuni and Revati, who are the wife of Balram in Krishna Leela. So Varuni, she becomes Vasudha, and Revati, she becomes Janavi in Chaitanya Leela. And their father, Suryadas Sarakhela, was Kukudni. Who was Kukudni in Krishna Leela, was Suryadas Sarakhela in Gaura Leela. In verse number 66, in Gaura Ganadesh Deepika, it says that Janava Mata is Ananga Manjari in Goloka Vrindavan, who is the little sister of Radha Rani. She was born in Vraja Leela in Barsana. And her leelas, what we hear, her age is 13 years old in Goloka. So she is a 13-year-old Manjari. She has a golden complexion and she wears clothes which are in the color of blue lotus. In Goloka Vrindavan, she does three important services. First service is when Rupa Manjari puts the jasmine garlands around Radha and Krishna. Ananga Manjari, she puts sandalwood mixed with camphor to Radha and Krishna. That is her first service. The second service that she does is when Radha and Krishna, they take rest, Ananga Manjari, she stands guard and she keeps looking. And if any monkey is about to disturb them, she signals other gopis or other Manjaris to take care of that naughty monkey. Third service that she does is anybody who comes to Goloka Vrindavan, let's say a jiva becomes pure and then goes back to Goloka Vrindavan. So she is the one who will receive us at the gate and she will take and show us where's your new residence. And then she will introduce them to the other gopis and then she will give them service. Okay, this is your service from tomorrow. This is what you have to do. Actually, there is a very beautiful Ashtakam also, Ananga Manjari Ashtakam. We can't go into that today, but it is said in that if anybody recites the Ananga Manjari Ashtakam regularly, then they can get the desired service they want in Goloka Vrindavan. Whatever you desire, that service you will get. In the Gaura Leela, Ananga Manjari was expanded herself into two forms, Vasudha and Jahanavi. And she was born to Suryadas Sarakhela and Bhadravati in the village of Shaligram, which is very close to Navadvip. Suryadas, he had this name Sarakhela because he was an accountant, or like you say, treasurer for the king of Bengal. So he got this name Sarakhela. Now he had another 4 to 5 brothers, Damodar Das, Jagannath Das, Narasimha Chaitanya Das, and very special person Gauri Das Pandit and Krishna Das. They were all brothers. Suryadas was number 3. Gauri Das Pandit is very famous. We all know that he moved from Shaligram to Kalna, which we now say Ambika Kalna, where he has these beautiful deities of Gaunithai. Now we will move from Shaligram to Jagannath Puri. Now what happens here? Once Nityananda Prabhu is visiting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during the Chaturmas at Jagannath Puri, and here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes a statement. He tells Nityananda, you must become a Grihastha. And Nityananda is surprised because he is an avadhuta, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking him to enter into Grihastha ashram. Now we can have a class, just this conversation. You don't have to speak anything else. It is very beautifully recorded in this book called Nityananda Vamsa Vistar, which is attributed to Vrindavan Das Thakur. Some people said Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote it, but then they said it may not be possible because he was not there at that time. He already left the body. So it is attributed, dedicated to Vrindavan Das Thakur. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is convincing Nityananda. He says, I am a sannyasi. I can't go to any place wherever I want to, and I can't mix with people. But if you become a grihastha, you can go everywhere and preach. So you must become a grihastha. So finally Nityananda agrees, but you know, okay, my lord, who can understand your ways? You do whatever you want to. You are the boss, you know. I mean, I'm just paraphrasing it. He says, You what you did to Sita Devi, she loved you with so much love and affection, but you abandoned her into the forest. What you did with the gopis, they came in the middle of the night, forgoing their family prestige to surrender to you, and one fine day you just left them, you know, and went to Mathura. What you did with your own wife now in this Leela, Vishnupriya, she loves you so much and serves you so nicely, and from Grihastha you became sannyasi, and now you're asking me from avadhuta to become a grihastha. Who can understand you, my lord? So like that, this very beautiful conversation happens to and fro. Finally Nityananda says, okay, my lord, your command, I take it on my head. And then Nityananda Prabhu leaves for Gauda Desha to get married. But Lord gives him 2 hints. He says that I will come as your son. And second thing he says, that one of your energies, that means your wife, will carry forward our legacy. See, Lord has his own plan, and as promised, one of the son of Vasudha was Veerabhadra, who was the incarnation of Shirodakshayi Vishnu. So Lord kept his promise, and Shirodakshayi Vishnu incarnated as the son of Vasudha, and as promised, Jahanava Mata carried forward the legacy. So both these promises, what Lord said, was fulfilled. So here, back to Shaligram, what happens here is Suryadas Sarakhela, he gets a beautiful dream one night, and in the dream he sees Nityananda, and he sees both his daughter on either sides, and then he sees Nityananda changing into Balaram and both his daughters changing into Varuni and Revati, and then he opens his eyes, oh, what did I see? So he understands that Nityananda is the eternal consort of both of his daughters. So now he sends a letter of proposal to Nityananda to accept his both the daughters. Now at that time Nityananda Prabhu was in Srivasangan. So when this letter comes, it is read aloud that, you know, he is making this proposal. And when the devotees who were present there heard it, they become so happy. Advaita Acharya was there. Srivas Thakur was there. Murari Chaitanya was there. They all started dancing and jumping in ecstasy. Oh, Nityananda is going to get married. Nityananda Prabhu accepted the proposal, and then he went to Shaligram, and then, you know, he said, yes, I have come here and to accept your daughter in marriage. But when Nityananda Prabhu actually came, now there are two versions in this which I've read from different books. In one version it is that he happily gives his daughters, both the daughters in marriage to Nityananda. But I've read in some other versions where they say when Nityananda actually came, then Sarakhela was like, he is an avadhuta. Is it correct according to Varnashram? You know, he's on a higher level and now he wants to get into Grihastha. So he says, no, I've changed my mind. I don't want to give my daughter in marriage to you. When he rejects Nityananda, Nityananda does not say anything. He just says, okay, Hare Krishna, and he just goes away. Now Vasudha Devi, who was in the next room, she overhears the conversation. And she's crying because when she hears Nityananda's voice, she knows Nityananda is her eternal consort. And now she just faints. Her limbs start getting numb. Her eyes roll back and she's completely lying down on the floor. So now the servants call, you know, sir, just see what's happened to your daughter. So they immediately call the Vaidyaraj, you know, the doctor. And they're all looking and the doctor says, you know, I'm sorry, but looks like your daughter is going to leave her body and nothing can be done. So now she's just turning yellow. So they just carried her body to the Ganga and they're all crying and the family members are crying. And one side they're making the funeral fire to burn her body. So now Suridasa Rakhela, he's a pure soul, you know, so he understands, oh, maybe I offended Nityananda. So he runs in the marketplace searching for, because he just rejected, where is Nityananda? And somehow he gets Nityananda and he holds his feet and says, please come back, do something, you can do something, my daughter is dying. So Nityananda says, I can, provided you promise me that, you know, you will give her in marriage to me. So finally Nityananda Prabhu goes to the bank of Ganga, but he doesn't do nothing. He just walks in and the fragrance, you know, which coming out from his body reaches the nostrils of Vasudha Devi. Oh, she simply gets up, you know, all fresh, and then she takes her sari and, you know, very shyly looks at Nityananda. You know, she's all smile. So now they understand and then they get all the marriage rituals, you know, all the marriage preparations ready. Now they're just agreeing for marriage. Now again here there are two versions. Now in one version we know that Suryadas Sarakhela gets his both the daughters married at a time to Nityananda. But then there is one version where they say that Vasudha gets married to Nityananda, and then after the marriage is over, you know, in a day, maybe by the evening time, Nityananda is sitting for prasadam. And Jahnava, Vasudha's younger sister, comes in to serve prasadam to Nityananda. So now Jahnava, she very shyly, she has covered her face with the sari which is coming up to here, and now she's serving prasadam. Now as she's serving prasadam, the sari, you know, because of the wind blowing, goes down. Now she is shy to show her face to Nityananda. So what she immediately does is two more hands sprang out from her body. You know, she shows her four hand forms. So with two hands she is serving, and with another two hands she is making her sari proper. And when Nityananda sees her four hand form, he understands, oh, she's my Shakti, Purna Shakti. So he immediately tells Suridas Sarakhela, as a dowry, I want your second daughter also in marriage to me. So like this, a very grand marriage happens. And if you really want to relish Nityananda's marriage, which happened at Ambika Kalna, you should read more of Bhakti Ratnakar. It has all the explanations, what happened and how the kirtan happened during marriage. And it's very, very beautiful explanation. So finally, Nityananda has two wives now. He's a married man. And now he goes to visit Mother Sachi and take her blessings. So they were from Shaligram. Marriage happened in Ambika Kalna because Jahanvi Devi and Vasudha, they were quite attached to their uncle Gauridas Pandit. And the marriage expenses were borne by Krishna Das, and all those details are given by Narahari Chakravarti in his book Bhakti Ratnakar. So now from Sachi Mata's place, Sachi Mata says, you must go to Shantipur and take blessings of Sita Thakurani. So then they go to Shantipur. Sita Thakurani, she becomes so happy. She takes both the new brides in her lap and gives them a lot of affection. And after staying for a few days in Shantipur, from there they go to Saptagram, which is the place of Udaharan Thakur. From there they go to Barogram. From there they go to Kharda. And finally they settle in Kharda. And somehow by the mercy of Nityananda, just last week I was in Kharda at that very place. We had such beautiful darshan there. So they had a what you say, they became like traveling preaching grahasthas. From there, they just keep on traveling, and from Kharda also sometimes Nityananda Prabhu used to go on traveling preaching tours. Now, as far as their grahastha life, Jahanava Mata never had any children. However, they did adopt one son. And Vasudha Devi, she had 7 sons who died. And the 8th son was Veerabhadra. And she had one daughter called Ganga Devi. The adopted son's name was Ramachandra. So now everything is okay, but as in the due course of time, Vasudha Devi, she left her body, and then they got the news Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left the world, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya left, all the other associates, Gadadhar Pandit left. In due course of time, Rupa, Sanatan, and even Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita Acharya, Srivas Thakur, all the Panchatattva, everybody left this world. So now there was a big vacuum. There is no leader. Who will lead them? Vrindavan Goswamis were there. Loknath Goswami, Bhogarbha Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami, they were there in Vrindavan. But Gaudadesh, no leader. So who will be the next leader? So Jahanava Devi, she became the next leader of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So now, since Vasudha Devi left, Jahanava Devi was taking care of Veerabhadra and Ganga Devi. In due course of time, Ganga Devi got married to Madhavacharya, and Veerabhadra was still young, but she was training him. She was like a siksha guru for Veerabhadra. Ganga Devi is the personification of river Ganga, and Madhavacharya, her husband, was Shantanu in Krishna Leela. So after some time, Veerabhadra was thinking, I should get initiated. So he went and discussed this matter with Sita Thakurani. Said, I want to take initiation. What should I do? Sita Thakurani said, why not you take initiation from your mother, Jahanava Devi? And Veerabhadra said, I like her. I respect her. She is my siksha guru. But after all, she is a lady. I don't want to take diksha from a lady. I will prefer to take diksha from somebody else. So he had this confusion in his mind. Am I offending her? Is it correct to think like that? She's in a woman body. Shall I accept diksha from her? As he's thinking all this, he goes inside his house, and what he sees, you know, he's just very unconsciously goes inside. And at that time, Jahanava Devi, she had just taken her bath. So she has all her hair, and she's trying to dry the hair as she came out from bathing. Now what had happened? The wind blew and her upper garment flew away. Now she doesn't know what to do because Veerabhadra is an elderly son. So what she does, immediately she changes into 4 hands, you know, 2 other hands spring out from her body and brings her upper garment and covers herself. So when Veerabhadra sees this 4-handed form, he just falls down and he says, how could I think of her like that? I want diksha from her. So of course later on, not only Veerabhadra, she also gave initiation to Veerabhadra's son Gopijana Vallabha, grandson also, and like that thousands and thousands of people she started initiating. She was an amazing combination of so much, you know, devotion, intelligent brain, strategy, vision. She was a complete leader. It was not only about preaching. She had such a vision how to keep the whole Gaudiya Sampradaya together. She was thinking on those lines. In the Narottam Vilas, Narahari Chakravarti explains in detail about this Kheturi festival. And before that, he explains how Narottam Das Thakur, when he went on a pilgrimage, he also goes to meet Jahanavi Devi at Kharda. And there he gets his inspiration to make this big, huge festival at Kheturi, the first Gaur Purnima festival at Kheturi. Not only that, she also sent a message to Jiva Goswami in Vrindavan that in Vrindavan there are a lot of Goswamis, so many books are written, but in Gaudadesh everything is going down after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left, you know. So people are getting confused and they are reproducing the philosophy, representing, misrepresenting the philosophy. So do something. Why not you send all those books which are written by Goswamis in Vrindavan to Gaudadesh and get them distributed so that people get to know what is the right philosophy, otherwise they are misrepresenting our sampradaya. So that is how Jiva Goswami sends Shyamananda Pandit and Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivas Acharya with all the Goswami books to Bengal. That was inspired by Jahanava Devi. When we discuss about the life and glories of Jahanava Devi, we must talk about the Kheturi festival, which was one of the highlights, how she was the chief guest at the Kheturi festival, the first Gaur Purnima festival, which was organized by Narottam Das Thakur, and how she was part of all the meetings of all the organization, the strategy, what they are going to do. And she also advised them and supervised what is happening during this whole mega festival. There is so many things to talk about Kheturi festival, but if I have to complete it in 5 minutes, I can say three important things that we can see her contribution in Kheturi festival is when actually the Prana Pratishtha is happening, you know, and he's just doing that puja, and Raghunandan Das Thakur did the bhajan singing, you know, just like in our temple inauguration also there will be bhajans going on, simultaneously rituals going on. After Raghunandan Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur started singing. So Narottam Das Thakur is singing and Srinivas Acharya is doing puja and Jahanava Mata is watching this. And at that very moment, Jahanava Mata, she glances at Narottam Das Thakur. And that glance, what she gave, she infused Narottam with such special energy that Narottam Das Thakur's bhajan brought the Pancha Tattva live in the kirtan. So they were all there, actually there. Mahaprabhu was there, Nityananda Prabhu was there, Advaita Acharya was there, Srivas Thakur was there, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was there, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, everybody was there in the kirtan. Now you can imagine what kind of kirtan it must be that the Supreme Lord himself came there and dancing with the devotees. But after a few hours of kirtan, suddenly everybody disappeared. Now when they disappeared, the devotees at Kheturi were crying and lamenting and falling down on the floor because now they are in separation of the Lord. And this is a very, very special moment because in that festival of Kheturi, there were senior devotees, there were new devotees. And for new devotees, they may have read about love in separation, Vipralamba Bhava, in the books, but they actually now experienced it, what it is to feel separated from the Lord, because they saw the Lord, they touched the Lord, they danced with the Lord, and now the Lord is no more. So she was so expert, the moment she saw that everybody is becoming sad, she suddenly changed the mood. Okay, now we will have Falgu, you know, Fagu Khela. Fagu Khela means playing with the colors, you know. Today is a holy festival, so Gaur Purnima, so bring the colors. So they infuse the colors, you know, mix the colors with camphor, mix the colors with other fragrances, and they started putting the colored powders on the deities and putting on each other, and devotees putting on Lord and then putting it on each other, and completely the mood changed and everybody became so happy. And then she started this tradition of Fagu festival, which is called Fagu Khela, playing with the colored powders. The other beautiful service that she rendered was she personally cooked for the devotees, and she cooked for the deities and cooked for the devotees. All along that you read Jahanava Devi's life, she cooked for the deities, but more than that, she loved to cook for the devotees. And I thought it was such a beautiful lesson for all of us also. Sometimes we think as a privilege to cook for the deities, but when it comes to cook for the devotees, we may have a different opinion. So we will not stay anymore in Kheturi because we need to move forward. So the festival keeps going on for 3 days, and finally Jahanava Devi says, now I have to go to Vrindavan. So now she leaves Kheturi and she's on her way to Vrindavan. So now she went with a big entourage because those days there are no flights. So it took her 3 months to reach Vrindavan. So these 3 months she passed through different villages and did so much preaching. And she was with her big entourage. There is Raghupati Upadhyay and Murari Chaitanya and Kanai and Balaram and Manohar and Kamalakar and Parmeshwari Das and Yadunandan. And so many of them, they accompanied her, and it was a big entourage of devotees. And every single day they are passing through different villages, preaching villages and making everybody devotee, and finally they reach Vrindavan. But there are two important incidents that I should mention, otherwise it will be incomplete. There was one special village where everybody was a follower of Chandi Devi, you know, like you have Kali, Durga, Chandi. So they were all followers of Chandi. Now, Janava Devi, by her behavior, she was very sweet speaker. She used to speak and sing very melodiously, so much so that wherever she used to give class, at the end of the class everybody becomes her follower and they say, please give Diksha, we want to be, you know, your follower. So now what happened when she entered this particular village where everybody was follower of Chandi? They got very envious of her. After all, she is an ordinary lady. Why everybody is paying obeisance to her, giving her so much respect? This is not correct. So they just confronted her. What do you think? You're very great. Everybody is paying obeisances to you. They went in the night and they prayed to Chandi Devi, please kill her. Kill her. Oh dear mother goddess, please kill her. And that is how they prayed. And that night, Chandi Devi, she comes in the dream of all these envious people who are envious of Janava Devi. She comes in the dream in ferocious form with a sword in her hand and she says, dare you, if you all offend Janava, she is a goddess, she is my worshipable goddess, and if you all offend her, I will sever your head. And then, you know, in the Bhakti Ratnakar, wave 11, verse number 49, Narahari Chakravarti says that Chandi Devi, she tells her followers, they say, Shri Janava Nama Ati Sumadhur E Nama Grahane Hobe Bhavabhaya Dur. She is telling to her followers that Shri Janava Ishwari's name is Ati Sumadhur, so madhur, so beautiful. If anybody takes her name, Bhava Bhaya Hobe Dur, this bhaya, this fear of this material world will be vanquished. Go and surrender by tomorrow, you know, to Janava Devi's feet. So wherever she goes, people just join her entourage. They become her disciples. So now she became very famous. Everybody is talking about her. Who is this lady? Wherever she goes, she talks. Everybody becomes her follower. So when this conversation is going on, some dacoits, they hear this. And they say, oh, with so many disciples, that means she must be having a lot of money. So let us rob her. So in the night, when Janava Devi and her disciples, they are all taking rest in a forest under a tree, these dacoits, they make a plan. As soon as they sleep, we will attack them and take away all the money, all the jewelry. So now Janava Devi and her whole entourage is just 50 meters away from them. They are also hiding behind the tree. Now they saw that yes, everybody has slept. So now the leader of the dacoit said, yes, come on, let's attack. You know, like you do 1, 2, 3, let's go. And everybody's like, yes, we are ready. So they take up the sword and say, come on, let's run. So everybody's ready and now they're running. And they're just 50 meters away from where Janava Devi is there. But this 50 meters, no matter how much they run and they run and they run and they run, but they're not reaching. And they keep on running whole night. And by the time morning happens and the sun rises, and they're still running and they're still running, but they're not able to reach Janava Devi. Finally, when they see the sun is risen, and they're saying, what is happening? So they understand the potency of Janava Mata. They just fall down, you know, and they are so tired and finished. They just fall down, you know, what is happening? So finally they decide that we just want to surrender to her. So in great humility, now they want to go and approach her. But they were running whole night, so now legs are paining, they cannot run anymore. So now what they are doing is they are crawling and going on four legs to Janava Mata. But now when they just started crawling, within a fraction of a second, they are right there next to Janava Mata. Now they are surprised. Whole night we were running, we could not reach her. Now we just took one step and immediately we reached her. How is this possible? So what does it say in the Brahma Samhita 5.33? Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. That's what happened. Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto. If somebody is going with devotion, they can understand the Lord. These people were going with the crooked, wicked, violent mind, they could not meet Janava. But when they went with a humble heart, immediately they could reach Janava Devi. So just like, you know, this particular incident, the dacoits, they all became the disciples of Jahanava Devi. And not only the dacoit, leader of the dacoit became a disciple, he later on also became an initiating guru. He started initiating some more people. And like that, he brought more people into Krishna consciousness. And like this, the fame of Jahanava Devi was spreading far and wide. Wherever she was going, she was making more and more and more devotees and inspiring everybody in Krishna consciousness. So like that, Jahanava Devi was so compassionate. She was delivering everybody. She made the Chandi followers Krishna devotees. She made the dacoits Krishna devotees. She made some Muslims into Krishna devotees. And like that, wherever she was going, she was just removing the darkness. Just like it says in the Garga Samhita, you know, verse number 46 from the 15th chapter, Sadhu Revana Bhaskara. It says in this verse that sun is not removing the darkness. The sadhu removes the darkness from the heart of the people, from the heart of a man. The darkness is removed by sadhu, not by sun. When the saint, when a sadhu travels, he is removing the darkness from everybody's heart. We know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Namo Mahavadanyaya, and he is more merciful than Krishna, who may be Karuna Sindhu, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is more merciful than Krishna. And we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is more merciful than Krishna because he is a combination of Radha and Krishna. But in the Gaur Leela, we see that Nityananda is more merciful than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One of the proof is the Jagai Madhai Leela. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to kill, but Nityananda even made Jagai Madhai into devotee. But now we know that the Hladini Shakti of Krishna, that is Radharani, is more merciful than Krishna. So the Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency of Nityananda, is definitely more merciful than Nityananda. That means Jahanavi Devi is more merciful than Nityananda. That means Jahanava Devi is most merciful. And not only most merciful, she is most accessible to the fallen people of Kali Yuga. So finally, she reaches Vrindavan, and that's again a big story, what all happens in Vrindavan, and so many leelas happen, and how she meets all the Goswamis. They come running to meet her up to Mathura. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Lokanath Goswami, Bhogarbha Goswami, they receive her with so much respect. They pay obeisances to her. She pays obeisances to them. They escort her. They take her around all the temples. She sees the deities of different temples in Vrindavan. She's so happy. And she cooks for all the deities. One day she cooks for Madan Mohan, one she cooks for Gopinath, one day she cooks for Radharaman, and like that. And sometimes, you know, giving gifts of clothes and jewelries to different deities, and all are so happy to have her association. She used to love to hear. So she used to ask Jiva Goswami to read the books of the different Goswamis, and she used to hear those books, and she used to love to chant. So there's something very special happened. Radha Damodar temple was the headquarter of the Sankirtan movement, and Jiva Goswami's that was his office. So what Jahanava Devi did is, her husband's belongings, Nityananda Prabhu's belongings, she handed over to Jiva Goswami, and she said, you keep them carefully. So she handed very important things like the Shivalinga, which Nityananda Prabhu used to wear around his neck. So that she gave it to Jiva Goswami, and she gave Nityananda Prabhu's wooden footwears to Jiva Goswami, and she gave the bracelets which Nityananda Prabhu used to wear in his right and left arm to Jiva Goswami to keep them safely. But over the years, the wooden footwear of Nityananda and Shivalinga, it got lost, or maybe stolen, we don't know, or maybe sold, we are not sure. But only thing remained was Nityananda's jewelry that he used to wear in Navadvip during the Nagar Sankirtan. Later on, Anup Goswami, who stays in Nityananda Vata, he took those two jewelry pieces of Nityananda Prabhu along with the original Japamala of Jiva Goswami to this place which is called Shringar Vata, or called Nityananda Vata, and he kept it there in his temple. If you want to see them, you know, our own His Holiness Indradyumna Swami Maharaj, he has one of the bead of original Japamala of Jiva Goswami. If at all you have any chance to meet him anytime, you can ask him to show that. Sometimes he does his japa on that bead, just one bead, because he has a good relation with Anup Goswami. And also that bracelet, you know, which is Navaratnas, 9 ratnas here and 9 ratnas here. Out of that 2 ratnas, Indradyumna Swami has, His Holiness Indradyumna Swami has taken them and he has made it into a ring, and he sometimes wears them when he does puja to his Shaligram. So if you ever have the fortune, you can just ask him to show you. So here, there's one more pastime I'll speak and then I'll try to end it here. So when Jahnava Devi is giving association to everybody in Vrindavan, there was one Goswami who was bereft of her association, and that was Raghunath Das Goswami, because he was at Radhakund. And he, after Rupa Goswami left the world and Sanatan Goswami left the world, out of separation, he was actually taking nothing. Maybe once in 2-3 days, he used to take 100 milliliters of buttermilk in a leaf. So his body was completely emaciated. So he didn't have any strength to walk from Radhakund to Vrindavan. So he just stayed there. Now he was not able to meet her, so he was feeling very bad. Now Jahnava, she's an energy of Nityananda, she's Ishwari. So she understands. So one day she announced, I want to go to Radhakund. And when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who was still there at that time, when he heard that, he's an old man, he becomes so happy. He runs to Raghunath Das Goswami to inform him that, you know what, Jahnava Mata is coming, and you know, especially to meet you. That is what she mentioned. And Raghunath Das Goswami becomes so happy. So then Jahnava Mata, she actually goes at Radhakund, and when Raghunath Das Goswami sees her coming from far, so he's an old man and he's just wobbling, he's not able to walk, he just runs and you know, and falls on her feet. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in his famous bhajan, if you remember, Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, in the last line he says, Shri Janava Pada Padma Kariyasmaran Dina Krishna Dasa Kaya Nama Sankirtan. He just mentions in the last line, Shri Janava Pada Padma Kariyasmaran. So he's also remembering, meditating on the lotus feet of Shri Janava Devi and taking her shelter. So in Radhakund there is a special place, it's called Jahnava Baitak. So when she goes and meets Raghunath Das Goswami there, they both have a very intense conversation. And Narahari Chakravarti Thakur says that Jahnava Devi is Ananga Manjari and Raghunath Das Goswami is Rati Manjari. And this Rati Manjari and Ananga Manjari, when they both are having conversation, he says, I don't think anybody in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya can write that conversation. Nobody has that much guts what they spoke that day. For hours together, they had conversations. And Jahnava Mata, she stayed there for 3-4 days at Radhakund. So once at Radhakund, Jahnava Mata, she heard Krishna's Venu Geet. She heard Krishna's flute. When she heard Krishna's flute, she just turned back and she saw Krishna there. And she saw Radharani and she saw the gopis and she fainted. So that very place, this incident happened. So then she made a small place for herself to sit there. She lived there for some time. And if you have been to Vrindavan, you will see that there is a private staircase to go down, you know, to Radhakund to take bath. So she used to use that for taking bath, and that place came to be known as Jahnava Baitak. You can still see when you go to Radhakund. In fact, actually there is a secret bridge. Of course, we all cannot see, but it is written in the books that there is a secret bridge from that place to the center of Radhakund. And in the center of Radhakund is a small island which is floating, which is in the shape of 16 petals, lotus petals. And that is a special island of Ananga Manjari, because in that island, in the middle, there is a special place which Radharani decorates so that Ananga Manjari can spend some independent time or some special time with Krishna alone. So then Jahanava Devi says to Raghunath Das Goswami, please take me for Govardhan Parikrama. So he says, I should take you? That is, how do I know? If you will take me, you can tell me what are the pastime places, you know, it will be helpful. And then Raghunath Das Goswami is laughing. He said, what can I tell you? You are Ishwari. Today, because of Nityananda Prabhu, I am here, you know, in spiritual life, because at Panihati, he blessed me, he delivered me. You see this Krishnadas Kaviraj, he is here because of Nityananda, because Nityananda came in his dream and brought him to this place. You see, Rupa and Sanatan, they are because of Nityananda's mercy. And he keeps on saying, everybody, all of us are here because of Nityananda's mercy. But then Jahanava doesn't listen. She says, no, Lord Chaitanya gave you his Govardhan Shila. You are the authority. You must take me. You must lead me. So then Raghunath Das Goswami, though he is not able to walk, that is why the Govardhan Parikrama takes few days. So slowly, slowly they walk and everywhere they stop, and he tells the Leela associated with that place to Jahanava Devi. There's one very special pastime happens at that place. When they are in a place called Aritragram, Jahanava Mata just takes bath in the Yamuna, and as she comes out, she hears everybody is crying and loudly screaming and crying. And she goes and sees there are a lot of people and one small boy is lying there. So Jahanava Mata is asking, what happened? And they said that Mata, this boy died. So the parents and the relatives and everybody is crying, you know. So Jahanava Mata, out of affection, she says, you know, she wants to touch the boy. And the parents stop Jahanava Mata. Please don't touch. It's a dead body. You will be contaminated if you touch a dead body. And she says, no, he's a Vrajavasi. Anything is there in Vraja purifies. It is not inauspicious. Please allow me to touch. And she touches with affection the head of that boy. And immediately the boy springs back to life, you know, saying, Jai Gauranitai, Gauranitai. So everybody started glorifying Jahanava Devi ki jai, and she says, no, please don't do that. I haven't done anything. I don't know. Maybe you are all crying, you are all Vrajavasis, so Krishna became merciful on you and the boy got life back. Please don't give me credit. I haven't done anything. And I thought that was so beautiful quality of Jahanava Devi. Always, you know, passing on the credit to the Lord and accepting none. So once it so happens that Jahanava is visiting Radha Gopinath, and she sees that the Radharani of Gopinath is very small. So a thought comes in her mind that, oh, I wish if Radharani was a little taller, you know, she's not matching with Gopinath. But then she thinks to herself, it's not correct. Why did I get this kind of thought? And in the night when she's sleeping, the Lord Gopinath comes in her dream and says, you are right, my Radharani is too small. I want a big Radharani, you know, a little bit of my size. And then Radharani also comes in the dream and says, yes, I'm too small for Krishna. Please arrange for some big size, you know, Radharani. So then it is confirmed in her dream that Lord wants this service to be done. So when she leaves Vrindavan and goes back to Kharda, the first thing she does is she calls a sculptor called Nayan and instructs how to make a beautiful vigraha of Radharani, and she immediately gets it done and sends it by ship to Vrindavan. So when they receive the deities, they become so happy. So the smaller Radharani, they put it on Krishna's right side, and the new Radharani, big one, comes on Krishna's left side. So now Krishna has two Radharanis. So Jahanava Devi had visited Vrindavan a couple of times, even during Rupa Goswami's time also she had visited, and personally Rupa Goswami had taken her on a parikrama of Vrajamandal, and during the time of Jiva Goswami she visited, and even after that also one or two times she visited Vrindavan. But on her final visit to Vrindavan, after sending the deity, when she first time stood in front of Radha Gopinath and she was seeing the new Radharani and all, she was very happy. Now when she turned back to go out of the altar, Gopinath became a little naughty. He pulled the garment of Jahanava Devi and pulled her and made her sit on his right side and close the door. You know, by his arrangement, he closed the door of the altar. And after some time, when the devotees open the door, they see that Jahanava Devi is no more. So she had merged into the little Radharani. So now they understood that this little Radharani is Jahanava, Ananga Manjari. So from there on, they started calling these deities as Anang Kanai Rai, Ananga is Ananga Manjari, Kanai is Krishna, and Rai is a pet name of Radharani. You know, the lovingly Krishna calls her Rai. So she's, so that deities are Ananga, Kanai, Rai, and these original deities of Radha Gopinath, Ananga, Kanai, Rai, we can see in Jaipur, Radha Gopinath temple. So this happened on the Shukla Navami Tithi in the month of Vaishakh. Janava Devi disappeared. So we take this opportunity to pray at the lotus feet of Janava Devi, to give that flame in our heart, to get Nityananda's mercy, to give us pure devotion, help us to get rid of our anarthas, and so that we can heartfully serve Guru and Krishna in the way that pleases them. So with this, I end it here. Nityananda Swarupini Janava Devi ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, maybe. Which is the best seva in Goloka Vrindavan? It's resounding. Well, I think Hare Krishna. Well, I think what's beautiful about Goloka Vrindavan is that there is nothing which is called the best. The peacocks, they dance for Krishna, and the cows, they give milk for Krishna, and the gopis, they sing for Krishna, and everybody's seva is the best seva. So even the bumblebee who hums for Krishna, makes sounds for Krishna, the fishes when they swim, they are also, everybody is serving Krishna, and that's what is common between all of them, and every seva is beautiful. So this best and first and last and all this comes in this material world only. We have all this comparison, and that's making our spiritual and material life both disturbance is creating that comparison. So what is the best or what is this? But I think whatever you are doing, you try to do your best. If you are singing for Krishna, you give your 100%, and that's the best seva you have rendered to the Lord. And if you are dancing for Krishna, then you dance to your best of ability, and that is what it means by the best service. So whatever seva you do, you do it wholeheartedly. You don't do it like how we do service. We always try to do it in our comfort zone. I'm comfortable, this much I can do, I will do. But there everybody tries to do more than they can actually do. They come out of their comfort zone, and their whole motive is to please Krishna. When we do service, maybe we want to please Krishna 80%, maybe 10% comfortable, please myself, because I'm also enjoying, my senses are also pleased by doing this particular seva. Maybe another 10%, everybody else is pleased and appreciating. So there are so many factors, but in Goloka Vrindavan, every seva has only one agenda, and that is to please Krishna. I'm sorry, I just went on and on without translation. Sorry. I hope this satisfies you.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much, Maharaji. Again, on behalf of all the ISKCON Chennai devotees and the entire congregation, we want to thank you for just lovely chatting. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 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 Krishna. Thank you.
Sab Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna.